Well, quite a remarkable individual, Jose Arguelles. We'll be back with him in just a moment, along with Stephanie South, author of 2012, Biography of a Time Traveler. And welcome back to Coast. We're with Jose Arguelles and Stephanie South. Jose, let's talk a little bit about the harmonic convergence of 87 and how you came to that event, what was behind all that specifically again. Let's spend some time on that. Go ahead.
Well, as I was mentioning earlier, I had come across a man named Tony Shearer back in 1969. He is Lakota journalist. Spent a lot of time down in Mexico. We hit it off very well, and one of the first things he told me about was that there was this prophetic event going to be taking place on August 16th and 17th of 1987, and it had to do with the fulfillment of some ancient prophecies called the prophecy of the 13 heavens and the 9 hells. And those 13 heavens and 9 hells, each of those refers to a 52-year cycle. He said the last 52-year cycle began in 1935 and would end in 1987. Well, when I heard that, again, it was like one of those moments of like, okay, I think I understand. I understand that it's almost like something I was supposed to remember. And so it stuck with me. I talked with Tony a number of times through the 70s and then somewhat lost track of him. But when it came to be the 1980s, I said, okay, this is the time I got to get ready for that. I mentioned the seeing when Dick Hoagland showed me the pictures of the face of Mars. It was after that that it really catalyzed, and I really started thinking about it a lot. In 1984, I was writing something called Earth Shaman, something that was never published, with a lot of poetic essays and so on about the different world ages and world cycles and prophecies of different traditions. But when I was writing it, the phrase came to me, harmonic convergence. And I said, oh, that's what it is. That's what's going to happen on August 16th and 17th of 1987. We're going to have a harmonic convergence. And so I said, I gotta get that out there. How am I going to do that? So I just started working at it and having meetings and talking to people, and then around 1985 or 86, I knew that I should finally synthesize my knowledge of the Mayan calendar and the prophecies, and so wrote the book, The Mayan Factor. That came out just about exactly, 22 years ago now. It came out on Good Friday of 1987, and I thought that was very auspicious because Cortez landed in Mexico on Good Friday of 1519 when the 9 hell cycles began. So I said, well, this is auspicious. And about a month and a half later, someone from the Wall Street Journal called me up and told me everybody in Hollywood is talking about the harmonic convergence. And so then that began this big media blitz. And all that told me was that, like, it was right on, that what Tony Shearer told me in 1968 was true. I knew that, like, it was in everybody's everybody who responded to it, many people did, that it awakened something in them, and they knew that they were supposed to do it, even if they didn't really understand what the prophecy was about or anything like that. I also knew by that time that all this was the door opener to 2012, that the harmonic convergence really defines the cycle from 1987 to 2012, and the big ultimate harmonic convergence will be happening on December 21st of 2012. And then I knew, well, that's what I have to really be working on.
Jose, this collective consciousness of the harmonic convergence of 87, do you believe it worked? Do you believe it works?
Yeah, it definitely works. The world shifted pretty dramatically after that. Within a couple of months, the stock market had the biggest crash in its history. And then just after that, Gorbachev announced the policy of Glasnost and thought we should be descaling the nuclear thing, had talks with Reagan, and they both agreed. And by 1989, the Berlin Wall came down, and the world changed. Everybody thought the peace was just around the corner, but that was just the beginning of change, because then after that, then everything shifted. It was no longer Russia versus the United States. It was the United States superpower, and then everything shifted again with the focus on the Middle East, and the changes kept occurring. I stated again and again during that time in 1992 and after that we were just beginning the ride, and that the changes would continue to happen. Humans could make the choice of remaining in their technological machine, going faster and faster, or they could, if they could see, they could choose to get out and start thinking about it and returning to the natural cycles. As I said, that the human species is the only species that lives in its own artificial time, mechanized time, going that fast. So it has worked, and it is working, and the fact that in 2002, New York Times ran a 10-year countdown front-page story on 2012, showed that the second phase was already in the collective conscious. In 2007, the New York Times ran, of course, the big article on 2012 in the Sunday Times magazine, mm-hmm. and that was kind of like the signal from the official world of the collective consciousness that that this event was on, whether you believed in it or not, as Benjamin Anastasis, who wrote that article, said, if you believe it or not, the fact is it's an actual cultural data at this point. The mind's already pointed to it. And since that time, since Benjamin's article in 2007, it's now snowballing. Everyone and his brother is writing a book on 2012 or opening a 2012 website everywhere. Whatever it is. So you can see that all of this is the Mayans knew. This was already in our DNA. It was implanted there. We knew that we'd be getting to this point, and all sorts of things would be happening. And since the 9/11, and now with the economic crash, this is all just preparation for it.
And you think it's all part of it?
It's all part of it. The acceleration on the one hand is the. In the 90s of the money system and of the technology, and now the crash of that, it's all a part of that, because we're getting to a point where the Earth is shaking, and it has to shake off the artificial veneer that's been placed over it that's causing the species extinction, that's destroying the Amazon and everything else that's going on. So that's all part of it. Now, as I've said many times, now it's the Earth's turn. The Earth is speaking, and it's supposed to speak louder and louder, and we'll just see. Okay, that's what that was about, the harmonic convergence. We have to get ready for living in the universe and in the universal cycles.
Well, as we approach 2012, which is not that far away anymore, Jose, give me your take then on the events. We're going through them now leading up to it, but what do you think will happen as we get very close to that time period?
Well, I think that, like, the way the trend of events, I think, is pretty easy to see that we've got a pretty unresolvable situation as far as the economic and the social and the political, all of that. Unfortunately, it's only going to get more complicated and get worse, and also the actual Earth changes themselves. We are in the Earth changes right now as we speak, and the effects of it are happening in so many unpredictable ways, from increases of people going crazy and killing lots of other people to what's happening with the economic situation and so on. Well, it's like, you need to kind of step back. You really need to get out of the box, and
yes.
See, well, it looks like the Titanic's rolling over right now.
And take a deep breath, too.
And take a deep breath and say, who's got the lifeboats and where's the life jackets? And how do we, this is something that can't be fixed, in other words. It's where we've got a situation that's beyond being able to be fixed. And so we have to start getting out of the box and seeing if we can think of in some higher, more alternative way about what's going on and what our place is in the cosmos.
Stephanie, when you were writing the biography, I mean, you must have been taking notes from everything.
Yes.
What a volume of material
it's huge, vast. As you can see, Jose is filled with enormous amounts of information. It just kept coming, and this the biography is edited down from a huge, huge text to try to get all the main points. But as you can see, there's so many important messages that need to get through.
Absolutely. The law of time, what is that, Jose?
The law of time is, there's several different aspects to it. First of all, the law of time states that there's that the universe operates by a single frequency of universal synchronization, that everything in the universe is synchronized in time. As I stated, the Mayans knew that this is a mathematical constant, a ratio of 13 to 20, which is also the basis of the what's called the Mayan calendar. That everything in the universe is synchronized to this. That's why we actually experience synchronization all the time. The universe isn't falling apart on us. It's because everything is actually like the law of gravity, the law of time. So no, everything is synchronized to function together. And because of everything being synchronized, there's a corollary to that, which is energy factored by time equals art. In other words, all the energy in the universe is factored by time. And, as I say, have you ever seen an ugly sunset?
Never.
Never. Okay. That's because energy factored by time equals art. The universe tends to ever greater beauty, ever greater harmony. The universe actually operates as a vast harmonic structure, as a vast work of art. And so it does that because everything synchronizes and goes into ever greater states of harmony. As matter attains property of being living matter, then that living matter attains consciousness, and then the consciousness tunes into the harmony and the synchronization, and then starts creating works of art and so on. So that's that factor. The third factor of the law of time is the velocity of time is instantaneously infinite. In other words, time is faster than the speed of light. And time...
That's fascinating.
When we talk about telepathy, time and telepathy are rather inseparable. Telepathy is faster than the speed of light. What we're saying right now, actually, if someone a million galaxies away can be tuned into it, it's happening at the same time, this conversation. They could tune into it. So if you're on the other side of the Earth, it doesn't matter what time it is. You can tune in to this. It's at the same time. So that's time and telepathy are very closely related. It has nothing to do with the clock.
Okay, you have been promoting a 13-moon, 28-day calendar for many years now. Tell me why you think this would be important to us.
Well, because I said the actual fact is that and as the Mayans knew very well, no one had a more elaborate what we would call calendar system, what I call systems of synchronization than the Maya. They were operating with at least 17 what we call calendars simultaneously. That's because they knew that time is the factor of synchronization. But if the Mayans were to look at what we use as a calendar, as the world standard today, the Gregorian calendar, they would just laugh because that's not as sure it has the number of days in a year, 365 or 365.2525, whatever it is. But as a standard of measure, it's not a standard of measure. You don't create a standard of measure where the units of measure are unequal. If you were trying to build a house with the equivalent of the Gregorian calendar, you would have a very crooked house.
Yeah, you probably would.
It takes a crooked man to walk a crooked mile.
Yeah. If I could just add something.
Yeah, go ahead, Steph. Sure.
Just to kind of maybe clarify or elucidate just a little bit that, as it tells in the biography, that Jose basically began an experiment in time and living by different cycles, like 13-day cycles, 20 cycles, 28-day mm-hmm. cycles, and he noted the enormous shifts in consciousness, which I can attest to, too, just by starting to engage in the 13-moon, 28-day calendar. It seems so simple and just so that
it
most
does.
People will just dismiss it. Like how could that possibly shift your consciousness? But when you start to engage in these cycles, and these are the cycles that the Maya lived by too. They were living several cycles at once. The levels and the overlays of synchronicity just become completely uncanny.
So are you saying we should go to an extra month, I guess, right? Is that what that means?
Yeah, it means 13 moons with 28 days, which is basically still the 28 times 13, which is 364 still, plus one day, which is a day at a time. But, yeah, 13 moons, but with 28 even days, so that it creates a certain, constant in your mind.
Or you there's a harmony to
more.
It.
Yeah, there's a definite harmony, and it definitely has to be experienced to really understand what it does.
What would you call this extra month, Jose, and where would it fall during what we would call our 12-month year now?
Yeah, well, first of all, this is a total overlay on the 12-month year. The 13th month, we would dispose of the months that we now use. They're meaningless. No one knows what January means, or February is even.
Sure, I do. It means cold.
What?
Cold.
Cold, yeah. Yeah, but see, that's up north. Down and down. If you're down under here, it means hot.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. It comes from January, from the Roman god Janus, that means the doorway. But February is even more obscure.
True.
No one knows. That's what I'm saying. They don't know what it means.
You're saying scrap all the 12 months.
Yeah, scrap the whole calendar. I'm not the first person who said that. Once I got into it, I thought for a while I was the lone crusader, but I realized doing some studying that there are huge movements to change the calendar. In the 1930s, when there was a Great Depression, there was a great movement, and the favored calendar to replace the present calendar was none other than the 13-month, 28-day calendar, because accountants loved it. Kodak was behind it. The World Chamber of Commerce was behind it, because they said, hey, we have a 13-month, 28-day calendar. Accounting is going to be so much simpler.
It would be. Now, what do we do, though, about birthdays? I was born on June 4th. You throw away June. What's my birthday?
Then we translate that June 4th. We find out that actually your June 4th translates that you were born actually during the crystal moon, I think maybe like around the fifth or sixth day of the crystal moon. And then you get a new birthday. And then you also, if you want to go deeper into it, All the days are coded by a galactic calendar of 250 days, and so you would also have a galactic signature that would go.
But from the moment we made this switch, let's say, Jose, and we started living on this 28-day, 13-month time period, would we physically feel different?
Yes.
There she
is. So, Stephanie.
Yes.
Elaborate, Stephanie.
Well, from my own experience, which is all I can speak from, when you start living on these cycles, I would say first the experience is a lightness of being, that you start to become or feel more, I would say, etheric or lighter and lighter, a sense of weightlessness. And then all of a sudden you start to, when you're not living on the 12-month calendar, I mean, you can still be conscious of it and do what you have to do in this world, but when you're not living of it and you're pulling back, I would say, new perceptions start to come into your mind, and new feelings in your body, and there's definitely a sense of wanting to purify the physical instrument that comes along with living in these cycles of time.
More to come in just a moment. Our special guests tonight, Jose Arguelles and Stephanie South. We're talking about her work on him, 2012, Biography of a Time Traveler. We'll be right back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Indeed, and we'll be back with more next hour. We'll open up the phone lines for our two guests, Stephanie South and Jose Arguelles. But when we come back, we'll chat more about 2012 on Coast to Coast AM. Jose and Stephanie, let's continue talking about this incredible calendar, and then we'll get into some more thoughts about 2012. How realistic is this, Jose, to get this changed?
Well, We've been working at this for a number of years, and the fact of the matter is that there are now countless numbers of people all over the world who are actually using this calendar and who are actually changing their frequencies as we speak. Personally, I've taken this to the Vatican because that's where the Gregorian calendar has its base, as well as to the United Nations. I've been received encouragement from the United Nations. But at the point to say that the political leadership of the world is going to change right now, I don't think is realistic. What we're focusing on is a total grassroots preparation, because when Stephanie was talking about the effects of the calendar, what she's referring to there is what we call the change of frequency. And so our push right now is on getting this calendar to as large a critical mass at a grassroots level, so that we begin to have people prepared for the kind of frequency shift that we will be having in 2012.
And it will happen, won't it?
It is inevitable. We've received some information, from the different people who sent us channeled information, which seems to indicate that, like, for instance, extraterrestrial sources are aware, like, of the calendar and the work we're doing with it, and of the importance of the calendar in preparing people to return to the natural universal frequency of 1320.
Tell me a little bit about this possible extraterrestrial contact. Some people believe that they will show up around 2012. What do you think?
Well, they seem to be showing up already in different ways. And I do believe that, like, from the understanding that I have, that we will have a type of, at least, if not an intervention, a type of mass telecommunication from extraterrestrial intelligence, which is of a benign nature, preparing us for the events of 2012, because they will be of a nature to shift and alter our consciousness irrevocably into another frequency and into another dimension, the fourth dimensional operating frequency.
Stephanie, do you expect anything strange to happen around 2012?
I'm feeling it already. Definitely feeling it. And I think that, as far as the intervention or the telepathic intervention or the actual ship's landing, as it tells in the biography of the time traveler, basically this whole planetary episode that's playing out on our planet right now is part of, is part of a transference of karma from other dimensions, basically Mars and Maldek. So I've had a lot of dreams. I've had a lot of dreams regarding this, basically how karma is transferred, and that at 2012, it's basically like just a shift of vibration or a shift of reality, which I myself am very much anticipating, because if we keep our minds focused on the positive shift, then I'm just looking at the clearing of all the karma from all the world systems, God willing.
Do you expect an end of the world scenario, Jose?
When you say end of the world scenario, what is that? That would mean like what, the destruction of the world?
No, yeah.
No way. Do I expect or anticipate anything like that? Even if it was something as dramatic as what Patrick Carroll predicts may happen, with the pole reversal and the Earth starting to turn in the opposite direction, the biosphere, the atmosphere, the oceans, everything will still be here. We're talking about a cleansing, as Stephanie was indicating. We're dealing with a type of karmic cleansing from previous world systems that have all incarnated on this planet at this time. And also we're talking about just a general cleansing of the Earth that is required due to the effects of the uncontrolled industrial civilization, the industrial mechanized civilization upon the biosphere. So there's an inevitable feedback system within the whole system of the Earth that responds to that. And so everything comes to this kind of critical super harmonic convergence of 2012 point, where all the earth feedback systems decline, the karmic systems becoming exhausted, the actual order of civilization becoming exhausted, the need for higher telepathic communication with the extraterrestrials. Well, all of that comes into a convergent point. And if that, that's what we have to be preparing for. We have to prepare for the fact that this is actually going to be a positive moment. The more the positive energy we can put into this, knowing that we can actually, through a collective unification of our mind, that we can actually even affect the Earth's electromagnetic field, I think is important to keep in mind. That's the track that we're working on.
This book that you wrote in 2002, Time and the Technosphere, exactly what is the technosphere?
Well, the technosphere is that's what it's allowing us to have this three-way conversation. The technosphere is the intermediate sphere that it's the whole apparatus of technological civilization that is overlain as the sphere of artificial civilization, of artificial timing frequency, which has extruded this civilization, and it is a completely overlain on the natural system of the biosphere. But it's like an intermediate system. It's like a placenta or like a cocoon. You know, when the caterpillar weaves the cocoon, and then boom, on the other side comes the butterfly, and the butterfly is the new evolutionary state of consciousness that we will emerge into just after 2012, which we refer to as the noosphere, the mind field of the Earth.
And why do I get the perception? Go ahead, Stephanie.
Okay. I was going to say, in his book, Time and the Technosphere, he says one really interesting thing, that apocalypses are the result of bad timekeeping. Basically, like, the apocalypse is based on a artificial time, or basically living a fake reality away from our true nature.
Why do I get the impression that as we move toward this date, that these events can't be changed? Can they?
No, the events all that we're passing through right now are irreversible events that we're seeing. We're seeing the climax. The 9/11 was kind of a climactic moment, and since then, like the war on terror and all this, those are just like mop up things or after effects, you know, of this. But as you see, all it's doing, all that's happening, is that the house is being brought down, that the economic house of cards is folding, and that we're never going to go back. This is irreversible stuff. So knowing that this is just an artificial superstructure that's collapsing. The actual essence, our essential nature, the Earth itself, the way we operate in the cosmos, that's being allowed to have some breathing space.
Do you believe that there are things we can do to change anything, and what would you recommend?
Well, there are things. As we mentioned, we can begin to change our frequency by just shifting over into using this 13-moon,
the calendar,
28-day calendar. That's the first step.
And also, having a series of colonics and eating raw foods.
Now, how's that going to change things, Stephanie? How's that going to change things?
Well, I think that getting back to a simpler diet and everything is really going to help our planet. And the more that each individual takes responsibility for their own being and their own intake, both of foods and both of thought forms, I think that creates a huge effect on the whole electromagnetic frequency.
That's interesting.
Go ahead. You know, David Icke, he has an interesting chapter about that in one of his books when he was getting his colonics. It led him to a lot of very cosmic perceptions, similar to what Stephanie's saying, but it's very true. Simplifying our diet is absolutely essential, going away from a carnivorous diet to a vegetarian or even vegan type of diet. That changes your frequency as well. Getting into you know, gardening, doing, becoming more individually or small group self-sustaining is also very important, because that's your survival right there. Learning how to be much more self-sustaining and taking care of yourself. We're also working on setting up a larger program, which we refer to as the CREST 13, which we'd like to see getting off the ground in 2010 and up and running by 2011. We've had a lot of interest in it. We still need to get the funding and the infrastructure for it in place. But the CREST 13 is a minimum of 13 self-sustaining small communities strategically located around the planet, where everybody is practicing the same synchronized telepathic meditation exercises, so that we can begin to practice create a planetary telepathic network. We've noted that, like, all the species virtually have forms of instinctual telepathic communication with each other. You can see this, you can observe it with the dolphins, or even with the ants, or with right. the bees, the birds, of course. They're all in that. We've substituted our telepathic intuitive intelligence for the cybersphere, which is the communication sphere within the technosphere. And so once we're liberated from that, then we will see a massive return to telepathy. In fact, the next stage of our evolution, why it's called the noosphere, the mental sphere of the planet, is because that's where we gain our full telepathic powers. And with that's a whole other ballgame then.
Would these 13 locations be strategically located on the planet, or does it matter?
We're trying to have half a dozen of them on the north side of the equator, half a dozen of them on the south side of the equator. One of them as close to the equator as possible. We're looking at a place perhaps near Kilimanjaro in Kenya. And the ultimate goal of these is to create these telepathic experiments, see if we can establish a telepathic network on the planet. And also we're doing experiments with the Earth's electromagnetic field with a type of psychic interaction with them to interact with the larger electromagnetic field, and to see if we can join our mental activity with the activity of the aurora borealis and the aurora australis at this peak moment in 2012, to engage the two auroras to remain in contact, which is predicted they'll come into contact at the equator, and to sustain that contact as a form of a rainbow around the Earth, or what we call a circumpolar rainbow bridge. That'll change people's perception of everything.
Time travel a bit here for us, Jose, and look beyond 2012. How far out can you see? What do you think will happen?
Once we've gone through the eye of the needle, the omega point of 2012, and we hit 2013, well, we're looking at that by summer 2013, we're going to have what's called a full-on galactic synchronization with intelligence of cosmic civilization. And then we'll be in a whole new evolutionary cycle. We'll be going through a quantum consciousness shift that's going to open up aspects of our minds that we did not even know we had available to us. And then we're going to be able to do many what we would call mind over matter things, which will straighten out our genetic code and our DNA, so that we can operate like the other species do, but at a higher, even more integrated level of intelligence. Basically, you know, most of the animals don't need doctors or insurance or banks or anything like that. We're all in a muddle about that. But you know, those are all just our own mind games, and now our mind games are getting the best of us. So we're just saying we're going to move out of those mind games into higher level mind games and play with the cosmic civilization and fly like the birds, free with no passports.
Some might do it. I'm not sure the whole planet would, though, Jose.
Well, without we'll see being how it goes. It might be that some people get taken to remedial training in other planets. I don't know, George.
Well, that's very possible, too. Back to the Newsphere 2 project, which is your investigation of time and cosmic states. How far advanced is this second project, Newsphere?
Well, we're pretty far advanced. We've been working at this for about 4 or 5 years, which is why we're kind of living in a remote part of the world, because we really need to spend a lot of time exploring different states of consciousness and also developing different telepathic meditations. This is over the last 3 or 4 years, this has produced a goldmine of information that I've been receiving and putting together. At this point, a lot of it is a very, very highly mathematical nature, but one of the things I've discovered is that the what we refer to as the telepathy or the cosmic systems of telepathy are basically mathematically based, and so we're working at understanding this and breaking it down into simpler levels where people can where people will be able to access this and then actually begin to operate with telepathic frequency structures.
Is it refreshing, the fact that 2012 is coming and coming fast?
Well, you know, that's a really good way of putting it, George. I think it is, because this world is pretty tired right now, and a lot of things obviously are not working, and so we need to come to a point. We've seen many people have observed that the only way that we actually really change is through a moment of really, really maximum crisis, and that's what we're creating for ourselves with all of our, as I said, these are all just our mind games that I've created. And they've gone out of control. We've created like a Frankenstein in terms of like the technosphere and the machine civilization and creating such reliance on it. And so it's out of control. And so it will stop itself. It will be stopped by solar flares, whatever it takes. And then we'll wake up and say, wow, this is a really interesting world. It'll be like in Wizard of Oz, where suddenly mm-hmm. the movie goes from black and white to Technicolor.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that. A noted expert in world populations said today that there's too many people on this planet already, and that something needs to be done. By 2012, that could affect us too, you know.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. I've done studies about this, which are published in the Time and the Technosphere book that you alluded to, where it's very clear. I've graphed out the growth of the development and the growth of the machine, and what we call the population explosion, and they're totally coincident. And so, as we've created faster and faster machines, our population has literally grown faster and faster. This is because this machine frequency, this 1260 frequency, actually subconsciously is accelerating our own DNA so that we are propagating faster, just like the machine propagates faster than the human. So the human has to propagate fast to keep up with the machine. So, yeah, and so we're going straight up on the wall right now, so we've reached that point. I'm not sure what it is that will occur in the next 3 years, but something is going to happen that's going to change that fact.
We'll be back and take phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM.